Hopefully this works. Oh, well, never mind. Let's leave it like that. As Stephen said, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of the resurrection. And we're in a season in the Christian church where we celebrate for a number of weeks the festival of the resurrection. And may I try to define what I mean by the resurrection? We believe as Christians that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead in bodily form, not as a spirit, not as a phantom, but in bodily form, and then ascended into heaven. And that is what we believe as Christians. But let me tell you a little bit of how I got there as an individual a few years ago, as Stephen let the cat out of the bag. And thank you very much for the commentaries about my shirt as well. I did actually buy this specifically for this talk, so hopefully it gives you a little bit of life. Oh, you like it? Okay, great. So there you go. Hopefully this is a resurrection shirt. For me, the resurrection, and as I've defined it, is the central act in human history and the fulcrum, the turning point, the very focus and where everything else revolves of my life. And it wasn't always the case. My background is that I come from a good family, but they had nothing to do with church. It wasn't, my mother was hostile to the church for good reasons in some ways, but I had no real contact with the church on a regular basis. Yes, I went to a normal school. They had occasional visits from the local vicar and curates from the local Anglican church, but it was very, very distant. And then my brother decided to get married in a church. We're not quite sure why. And I went along to church and I got really scared. And I really didn't like the dynamic. It felt like there was a different world, and it was quite disturbing to me personally. But at the same time, I was at school, and I was doing what we now call GCSEs. And at that point in time, you had to do religious studies. Everybody had to do religious studies. And so for 2 years, I was forced to study the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm not sure that's allowed anymore, but this is a few years ago. And had this group of, 30, 35, uninterested kids, having been taught the purposes of the Gospels, the stories of Christ, and we had to learn it for an exam. I didn't do very well in that exam, sadly. But it did prompt me to have some discussions with new friends that actually were Christians, and they started to befriend me, and I started to hear their stories. And then they invited me to a Christian youth group in the same town, in the Midlands, and because there were lots of girls there, I went along. But in this conversation, I was starting to be confronted by not just the stories of Jesus, and not just that he was a good teacher, not just that he was a foundation stone in our society and in our morality, but that he did actually die on the cross, and then did he rise again? Was he resurrected? And in that conversation, I was given various books that I want to recommend to you. Yes, many of you are Christians, perhaps with some doubts, perhaps with a desire to know a little bit more about your faith, perhaps with a desire to be able to explain it better to your friends. So I will recommend some books to you, which are available if you want to buy them, borrow them, take them. The first one is, let me just click on there. And the next one. No, okay. I think it's the first slide, if you can go back to the first slide. This is Who Moved the Stone, which is a book that was written a few years ago, but it is by a very skeptical journalist who wanted to prove that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, and therefore he was just a good teacher who happened to be executed. And I read this book, and his logic really hit me. And his logic was essentially this. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, where's the body? The Jews had the Jewish people, the real rulers that put him to death, had every reason to find that body and to show the body to everybody and therefore kill this movement at birth. They couldn't. Was there mass, I guess it's what it's called, it's hysterical visions? Did it actually happen? Was it just one big confusion or one big deception? Mass hypnosis, if you like. Well, if that happened, again, where's the body to dispel that hypnosis? It didn't appear. Maybe it was stored away somewhere. Maybe it was manufactured maybe it was taken away and put and just kept away from being brought out and proving everything was wrong. And the people that would have done that would have been the people that were claiming that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay, I can kind of go along with that. But then why did they die terrible, awful deaths? The deaths that the Roman Empire could create, that they'd seen their master, their rabbi, Jesus, suffer. Death by sword, death by crucifixion. Why would they continue to claim that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? And they could get off easily and just worship the Roman gods. Why did they keep going? And I just was confronted with those facts. And I recommend that book to you. It's called Frank Morrison. There's a more modern version by another journalist called Lee Strobel, who also was an atheist. And then in the last few decades, he studied the resurrection of Christ and the facts around the resurrection of Christ. And he came to the same conclusions that many, many, many other people had over the years. So again, if you want a slightly more modern version, that is something that I'd recommend as well. And it really is, we have to be convinced to be Christians of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for what happens next. And then another book that I read was something called C.S. Lewis, which is Mere Christianity. And this really tipped me over the edge, as it were. And this is an Oxford academic. And he said this: a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. So I took that journey and I concluded the same thing. Yes, I didn't have a Christian background. Yes, I didn't have Christian parents. But the realities of the scripture, the books that I've been reading at school, and these books that I've been reading as part of that, and the reality of the Christian friends that I saw the life of God in, really tipped me over the edge. And I prayed a prayer. If you can flick on. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. So what happened next? Well, there's three things that I want to suggest to you, and then we'll break up into discussion groups so we can talk about it amongst ourselves. The first consequence for me is actually what Stephen referenced earlier, and that is that when confronted by the risen Christ and the realities of the risen Christ, I had to say, you are my Lord and my God. And that's what St. Thomas, there's a famous story in John's Gospel, where Jesus reappeared to Thomas because he doubted. He didn't see the risen Christ firstly. And he reappeared to Thomas and he said, these are my wounds, touch them. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And I didn't need to see the wounds of Christ. I could see enough evidence around me. But I also said, you are my Lord and my God. And what does that mean? It means that I have to obey his commands and follow his word, especially this new commandment that he gave, that I am to love the brothers and sisters who also believe as he loved them. And he demonstrated that love most supremely by dying on the cross to pay for the cost of our sins. That is simply the response that I had to make. And I'm still trying to make that I follow the Lord, my God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had to be confronted with really the power of God several times in my life to be aligned with what he wanted me to do. There was several times when that happened. One is in particular when I was in a prayer meeting with these with folks in the Antioch community, and he told me very directly, do not discriminate and do not choose who I love and therefore you love. You love everyone in this room. I don't care what you think about them. I don't care what church they go to. You love them because I love them. And that was a pretty clear command. So I've been trying to do that for the last few decades. And then I think the other consequence of that is that my life is at his disposal. He can do with me what he wills. And Jesus is the ultimate good. He's the ultimate beneficial ruler. He won't do bad things to me that I cannot endure. Sometimes I do get bad things happen to me, and I see it with other people as well. But he gives me the grace to endure. And so I did actually make that choice. And then I came into the Antioch community and felt God tell me to be here very clearly, as I just said. And that meant that I chose where I was going to get a job based upon that fact. I sought a lady to compliment me and also be committed to what I thought God wanted me to do. Hence, I got married to Roz. And she committed herself to Antioch, independent of marrying me. She saw that she heard the same call. I've lived in different countries in the last few years. But I've always known the call, I've always lived the call, and I've always come back to the call to be here in this community. And I think that's a very simple statement, but I am testifying to you now that that is what is the main response that we should have to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we submit ourselves to his will and that we follow him. The second area that I want you to realize happens when we confront the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. If you see the next slide. Go on to the next slide, thank you. The same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that raised Jesus from the dead has been given to us who believe. That is an incredible fact, and it is a fact. And that enables us to follow the command, to follow Jesus as my Lord and my God. The Holy Spirit does lots of things. He gives us new life. He gives us assurance. He gives us love. He gives us faith, strength, protection, support. He gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which we can read about, which enables us to live holy lives. And he also gives us supernatural manifestations of his presence. That is what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives us all these things to allow us and to support us and to strengthen us as we respond to Jesus being our Lord and our God. And you've seen that a little bit in the worship that we have in 10 or 15 minutes ago. We're trying to respond to the love of God and the pouring out of his Holy Spirit in our worship. There is one final event that I think is a consequence of the resurrection for each one of us. And that is that his resurrection is our resurrection. Our resurrection when we have eternal life. If you go on to the next slide. So you see the logic, and it's very simple logic, and it feels like it's too simple. My Lord and my God, The Holy Spirit is poured out. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is poured out into our hearts. And his resurrection is our resurrection. Those are all facts in my head. Those are all facts that have driven the whole of my life. All the decisions I've made, all the strength that I've needed. And yes, bad things do happen to good people. But not bad enough to remove the realities of the Holy Spirit being poured out into our life and the resurrection being given to us if we continue to believe. So I'm going to ask that we split up into discussion groups now. And it is slightly chaotic, so forgive us if we make a bit of a noise as we gather. I've asked a few people to be discussion group leaders. If you could stand up, those that I've asked to be discussion group leaders. Thank you. I lost me a piece of paper. I think there's about 65 people in the room. Please, can you gather around somebody that you see standing up? But if you are with a friend who brought you, stay with your friend, okay? But please find one of these folks and join a discussion group and just come to circle the chairs around, and then we will have the discussion. And the questions are going to be on the screen. And it's very simple. How do you relate to St. Thomas's cry, "My Lord and my God"? And how did this happen to you? How have you seen God provide for you as you followed Jesus in your life to date? And how do you see the Holy Spirit working in your life? And do you want more? Now, maybe we won't be able to cover all of those questions in the time that we have, but please do gather in groups of 6 to 8. Let's do that. So keep standing up, the people in discussion groups. Please gather around them. Move the chairs so that you can be in a circle.